You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM. And we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday on Tassie Encounters, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and again, Tabitha Zachariah joins us in the studio for our program this week, where we've been talking about making things right. Welcome, Tabitha.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you for having me again today. It's a beautiful day, and it's great to be in the studio with you today, and I'm contributing to this wonderful program.
Awesome. Well, this series this week is called Making Things Right, and yesterday we titled our program Owning It, and ultimately that was talking about acknowledging where we've made mistakes, where we've sinned, and where we've sinned against God. And regardless of whether we make a mistake and hurt somebody else, that's still sinning against God, because God says, love me, love your neighbor, love each other. And when we fail to do that, we actually fall short. And we know that we fall short. It says all have fallen short of God's glory. And so we need to be honest about that, and we can go to God. One thing I didn't really emphasize yesterday, although we did read the verse, but we didn't emphasize, and I want to encourage our listeners to go to God, because in that verse that we read yesterday, 1 John 1, I think it's about verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness or all wickedness.
Amen.
So we can go boldly, and there's another verse that we didn't read that says we can go boldly to the throne of God, knowing that he is merciful. If we are honest and we go with an honest intention, with an honest heart, then God says that he will forgive us. So we want to remind people of that. Our main verse for this week, we failed to read this yesterday, but it says in Proverbs 28:13. Would you like to read that for us? Proverbs 28:13, and we're reading from the New Living Translation this week.
Sure. It says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. And Jason, I want to add something. I have been reading the Bible from Genesis, and I am in Kings. I got to 2 Kings, and a lot of those kings, they made, they sinned, and they made
big mistakes.
They made big mistakes. They made gods out of gold and all that. They practiced idolatry. Let's just say that. And consistently, we had prophets who would come to warn them, or like they would bring God's message, and they would tell them, God is going to destroy your household. And we have some of them who actually confessed their sins, and they asked for forgiveness, and there were consequences. But when they asked for forgiveness, there was, most of the time, there was a minimization of those consequences. And so I feel like when, as I keep reading, I see that a lot of people, it's our nature to sin. And a lot of people do that. It's not just me who is doing that. But then again, you see the value of asking for forgiveness.
Time and time again, God offers forgiveness. But as you said, he doesn't always take away the consequences of our sin.
Correct.
And David certainly experienced consequences for some of the things that he did when he disobeyed God. Question, Tabitha. Why do you think the words, I was wrong, or maybe I am sorry, sometimes so hard to say?
I was wrong can be difficult to say because it requires humility. Most of us want to be seen as competent, right, or in control. But when we admit we are wrong, it can feel like you're admitting weakness or risking how other people see us.
It requires vulnerability, doesn't it?
It does require a lot of vulnerability. And also sometimes pride gets in the way. And sometimes it's fear. You fear people are going to judge you or reject you, or you're scared of the consequences. You know what the consequences are. And you feel like if I admit, then this is going to be real.
Mm.
But it's interestingly, admitting we are wrong is often a sign of strength, because it takes courage to be honest about our mistakes and take responsibility for them. And in relationships, those three words can be the beginning of healing, trust, and reconciliation. And from a Christian perspective, the gospel starts with acknowledging our need for God. We come to Him not because we've got everything right, but because we recognize that we need His grace.
Mm.
When we learn to say, I was wrong to God, it becomes easier to say that to another person.
It's interesting, in James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed.
Mm, healing.
There's something important about confessing.
Mm.
And it brings healing to the relationship, and it can bring healing even to our bodies, I think,
mm.
when we confess and make things right. But there's a way of apologizing and, I guess, sinning against somebody, and then trying to apologize for that, but in a way that doesn't really properly apologize. And I want to give a few examples here so that you can have a think about this and see whether this is the way that you tend to approach apologies or confession. Another word, confession or apology.
Mm-hmm.
So if I said to you, Tabitha, I'm sorry that you were offended by what I said, is that a good apology?
It is not a good apology, because you are apologizing, first of all, because you know that you've done something wrong. So how I perceive that should not be your concern. Your priority is being honest and genuine in how you apologize, and then being open to hearing what I say. Or I should be able to tell you how your wrongdoing affected me.
What about, I'm sorry, Tabitha, but I was really tired.
It's not an excuse. If you think that being tired is an excuse, then everyone gets tired.
Hmm.
You know, it's just, it's not an excuse to do wrongdoing, because once you've done harm to someone, when you've hurt someone's feelings, it's really hard to repair that. So,
yeah. What about, I'm sorry you feel that way. So I've said something, upset you, and I say, oh, I'm sorry you feel hurt, or I'm sorry you feel that way.
You know, we had some discussion before the program about that, and I was looking at it and thinking, I think that's all right. But then in the context of someone is, you're being empathetic, and you haven't contributed to them feeling that way, then that's okay. But if you have done a mistake, then you saying that I'm sorry, yes, that you feel that way, that is not a genuine apology.
Like yesterday, we were talking about owning it before God. We also need to own it before another person as well. We need to own our mistakes. What about, I've already said sorry, you need to move on. that's
the worst of them all.
I think there's one more. What about this one? Mistakes were made, build a bridge and get over it.
That is being rude. I think now that is where pride comes in. There is no remorse there. And I don't know how someone would expect to be forgiven when they apologize like that.
I think there's some biblical examples. There's a couple of verses that we can read in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 19. Israel had made mistakes, and they actually had been asking for a king when God said, no, I don't want you to have a king. They asked for a king, and eventually God gave them a king sort of against his own preference.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they realized that it wasn't a good thing, and they said, we have added to our sins by asking for a king. So they were being very specific.
Mm-hmm.
They were being honest, and There's another one here where Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. I'll get you to read that one.
Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy 1:15 from the New Living.
It reads, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all.
You know, that's amazing that Paul, who was one of the major early apostles and evangelists, he says he was the worst of them all. And I can sort of understand what he was saying there, in that in his early life he was persecuting the Christians, but and even, you know, having them put to death. But you would think by later in his life he would have, you know, thought, oh, well, I've been forgiven, I'm okay now. But he still says, no, I'm the worst of them all.
And that's humility, because no one wants to say I'm the worst, like when you actually mean it, not saying it just so it's, you know, takes things off your plate, but it just shows how humble he was presenting.
I missed a point earlier I think that's important, and that is yesterday we talked about going to God to ask for forgiveness, and I think that's the first step, and I think that's something we need to do. So you might think of that as a vertical dimension to confession, but there's a horizontal dimension, which is where we go to the person specific or the group of people. It could be more than one person. A horizontal dimension where we go person to person and acknowledge. And I think it's important to recognize that we can't make things entirely right just by going to God.
Mm.
Now, there are some circumstances where I think that is the case, where we have to. Say, for example, we might not have apologized or made things right while somebody was alive and then they passed away.
Mm.
It might be a friend or a parent or, you know, someone. In that instance, the only person we can go to is to God to deal with that. But that's why I think it's so important to do it straight away, as soon as we can, is to go to the person and try to make things right.
Yeah.
We went through a few poor examples of apologies. Maybe we can go through some better ideas as to how we should confront our confession to each other. Do you want to give us a few examples of how this could work better?
Yes. A good example is saying, I was wrong when I spoke to you harshly. I should not have used those words.
So it's totally owning the action and acknowledging that it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What about, I can see that my dishonesty damaged your trust. I'm not blaming you for my choice. Again, that's owning it, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I repeat, another good one that we can use, or that's an example of a good apology, is saying, when someone says, I repeated something about you that I should not have repeated. I'm sorry. I will go back to the people I spoke to and correct it.
Mm.
So this is someone who is acknowledging, owning it, and also
taking
action, yes.
Yeah. I took something that was not mine. This is if you've taken somebody from something.
Mm.
I want to return it and make right any loss I caused.
And we talked about Zacchaeus.
Yes, we're going to talk about him a little bit more later in the week as well. Mm. What about this last one we've got here?
And another good example is when someone says, I was careless with your confidence. I understand why you may not feel safe telling me things right now. And one of the hardest things to repair once it's broken is trust.
Trust, yes, yeah. And if somebody's asked you to keep something in confidence, then it's so important that you do that. Sometimes I've shared something not because of an intent to, you know, hurt somebody by sharing it, but just simply I've forgotten that they've asked me to keep it quiet.
Mm.
And that can be bad as well. So, but I still would need to go and make that right.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a bit of a framework for apologizing. Name the wrong. Acknowledge the harm that it caused. Avoid excuses. Try not to put any buts in the, you know, but because, you know, of this circumstance. Ask for forgiveness. Offer repair.
Mm-hmm.
And give space for the person to take their time to somehow rebuild trust if that's necessary, I think you shared to me earlier off air that that's something that sometimes you've struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so important to you that people give you time?
Yes, I feel like this is like the most, it's an important part. It's understanding that people need space because people get affected by things differently, depending what it was. And just understanding that just because you've asked for forgiveness, you've owned your mistakes and you've offered to make things right, does not mean that that person is automatically going to forgive you. People need time to process, and it's good practice, or like it's only fair and right to give the other person time. And you can even say, I understand, you know, how you may feel and you need time. When you're ready, you can please reach out to me and we can talk about that. Mm. Jason said, I said that I struggled with forgiveness because I used to feel like if I'm saying that I forgive you, then it means that things are okay, that now the relationship goes back to normal. But I recognize the importance of forgiving that person just to relieve them of that burden, and also acknowledging them for that, them taking that important step, but also being honest about it. Thank you for saying this to me. It did hurt me, but I need time to be able to process this, and then we can pick up from there.
So the person offering the confession doesn't have a right to pressure somebody into instantly forgiving them or instantly moving on. We can't demand that instant reconciliation. Mm. There's some interesting research that's been done. If you want to, text us in and I can share this in more detail with you. But this research found that the most powerful part of an apology is not just saying the word sorry, it's taking responsibility. And the second most important part is offering repair. And that lines up so strongly with the biblical picture of confession, that it's not vague, it's not vague regret, and it's actually honest ownership of the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We are just about out of time, but let's just finish off with a few application lessons, I guess, or things to think about as we go as we go away today, and you might be able to think about these things through the day. Is there someone that I need to speak to and offer an apology to or a confession to? Have I apologized too vaguely or not in a way that's a genuine apology, like those poor examples that we offered earlier? Do I need to be more specific to that person? Have I used sorry while still defending myself? We put a but in there. I'm sorry, but I think if there's a but, then it's hard for somebody to accept that as a true apology.
Mm-hmm.
What would repair look like rather than just regretting the mistake?
Mm-hmm.
What would repair look like? What might I need to do to rebuild? And am I willing to give the person time rather than demanding that immediate trust? Yeah, so there's even more research here that we could share. There's another study here that says that an apology and restitution, forgiveness, gratitude, positive emotion, all of these things are all connected. And so a thorough apology calmed people's heart rate, reduced the indicators of stress.
Mm.
It's so important that we actually go and apologize with the right attitude and with the right sense of honesty.
Mm.
So let's leave it there today. Just remember that Jesus came into the world to offer us forgiveness, and he does also call us to forgive others as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he set the example. He said, Father, forgive them, while he was on the cross, and he wants us to forgive others as well.
Mm-hmm.
As we offered yesterday, we've got our free book offer, and so stay tuned for that. It's coming up right away.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our free book offer this week is, it's actually not a book, it's a study guide, a small study guide, Walking with Jesus, Confession. This is by Wayne Boham. God has promised that when we confess our sins and give our lives over to Him, that our sins will be forgiven. Learn how Jesus' perfection can cover your past mistakes as you claim this amazing promise of forgiveness. Experience God's mercy for yourself when you come before Him with a humble heart. Text us in TEM72 to 0488 880 891. That's TEM72. Text it to 0488 880 891. So just remember, making things right, saying sorry, is not a vague apology. It's not defensiveness, but it's humility, honesty, and a willingness to make things right and give people time to do that. As we go out today, this is a beautiful song by J.J. Heller. It's called Neighbor. May we offer that forgiveness to people and also remember to confess to people each and every day that we make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
May you encounter Jesus more today.
It's easier to jump to conclusions than walk across the street. It's like I'd rather fill the blanks with illusions than take the time to see. You are trying to close the back door of your car. You are balancing the groceries and a baby in your arms. You are more than just a sign in your front yard. You are my neighbor. Get so lost in the mission of defending what I think. I've been surfing on a sea of opinions, but just behind the screen, you are grateful that the workday's finally done. You are stuck in miles of traffic, looking at your phone. You are trying to feel a little less alone. You are my neighbor. When the chasm between us feels so wide that it's hard to imagine, we don't have to see things eye to eye. For me to love you like you are my neighbor. My neighbor. The easy way to go. But I believe we are connected more than we might ever know. There's a light that shines on both the rich and poor, looks beyond where we came from and who we voted for. Till I can't see a stranger anymore, I see my neighbor. May my heart be an open door to my neighbor. You are my neighbor.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.